Chapter 2. Nie Mingchui wasn't entirely sure how it happened. He thought it might have started with that rather enjoyable assassination he'd had with Wei Wuxian. Very enjoyable, even. The boy was vigorous, inventive, very flexible, and had taken to the task of losing his virginity with the sort of enthusiasm that Nie Mingchui appreciated in a person. After the 3 days and nights they'd spent together, he'd bidden him farewell with an open offer to come back and try again sometime. He'd meant that offer wholeheartedly. He just hadn't been expecting Wei Wuxian to show up next time with company. Nie Mingchui was, of course, very familiar with sect leader Jiang, since they were often in discussions regarding the state of the Sunshot campaign. But this blushing, awkward version of him, making oblique references to the difficulty of finding someone that might fulfill the purpose required and, well. Suffice to say, even if Nie Mingchui wasn't attracted to Jiang Cheng, which he was, of course, the boy had a cold, arrogant sort of beauty with a warm temper and a vicious tongue. The type that was fun to rile up, sure to be wild once let loose. He would have agreed just for that reason alone. Nie Mingchui was painfully aware of how fiendishly difficult it could be to find a partner when one was a sect leader. Having to consider at all times whether his lovers wanted something from him or whether he might be inadvertently using his position to pressure them. There'd been a reason he'd never approached Meng Yao, despite the man's regular appearance in his more intimate daydreams, after all. Given the sensitive nature of the man's background, even the slightest hint of impropriety would provide fuel to the vicious gossips that seemed to be everywhere. And Nie Mingchui was unwilling to hurt Meng Yao like that over a matter of mere physical pleasure. A pity, though. In regards to Jiang Cheng, however, he certainly wasn't about to say no. Though he had to admit he was a little surprised about Wei Wuxian's boldness. There was a certain open-mindedness and flexibility of thinking of the sort he'd already observed as characteristic for Wei Wuxian. And then there was proposing a threesome on your second outing. He hadn't even been aware that Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng's relationship was of that type. Still, let it not be said that Nie Mingchui wasn't up for a challenge. Wei Wuxian had looked rather adorably surprised when Nie Mingchui had pulled him inside the tent and tied him up so that he'd wait his turn, but Nie Mingchui had explained to him that it was critical that Jiang Cheng get his full attention while he was deflowering the man, and he didn't trust Wei Wuxian's wandering hands in the slightest. It occurred to him later, much later, that it was possible that Wei Wuxian had been trying to act as a matchmaker rather than proposing a threesome. But by that point, he had two very pretty, very fucked out boys on their knees, making out around his cock like they were competing to suck him off, and he wasn't really in the mood to stop them long enough to ask. "I can't believe that it really worked," he heard Jiang Cheng whisper to Wei Wuxian the next morning, when they thought he was still asleep. I was out like a light afterwards, and didn't have the energy to so much as twitch all night. You told me, and I didn't believe you, but wow.
I know, right?
If I didn't have work to do, I'd stay and sleep in here all day. The dreams I had, it was wonderful. Nie Mingchui had been pretty pleased with their assessment of his performance. In fact, he was pretty pleased with the turnout of it all around. Obviously, neither Jiang Cheng nor Wei Wuxian were people he had to worry about inadvertently coercing, being as they were from another sect and high enough not to fear him. More than that, they were gorgeous, competent, and sexually compatible with him. And the relationship even served the dual purpose of creating a closer tie between the Nie sect and the Jiang sect. In fact, in the future, He might even be able to openly invite the sect leader and head disciple of the Jiang sect to visit him in the evening to further explore how they could encourage closer ties. He'd even volunteer to bring the rope. Besides, having not one but two lovers suited him down to the ground. While his strict standards and accepting partners had often led to long periods of drought in his sexual life, when he was with a lover, he had a considerable appetite and stamina that often left him wanting more, even after his lovers had long since refused to continue. This way, he wouldn't need to be overly concerned with scheduling. If one was busy, perhaps the other would be free. He wasn't expecting Lan Wangji to burst into his tent late at night a few days later, a look of severe distress on his face. Well, severe by Lan standards, which meant that his lips were compressed, his brow furrowed, and Nie Mingtui's new deputy didn't even realize something was wrong. None of his deputies in the last few months were half as good as Meng Yao had been. More's the pity. Now that he thought about it, the next time he happened to be in Langya, he should probably go check up on him to see how he was faring in the Jin sect. He'd given him a recommendation letter, but how far would that go? Nie Mingtui dismissed the deputy with a mental note to replace him as soon as a suitable alternative could be found, and turned to Lan Wangji in concern. What's the matter? The explanation he received was garbled. Lan Wangji's typical eloquence muzzled by a combination of distinct embarrassment and his usual tendency to be overly succinct. But eventually, Nie Mingtui puzzled out that Lan Wangji was apparently head over heels for Wei Wuxian and wanted to learn how exactly Nie Mingtui had gotten into bed with him. He asked, Nie Mingtui said, feeling a little helpless. I mean, it took him a while to work up his courage. At first, he was just very obviously following me around, but then he finally got around to it and asked. Nothing more to it. Lan Wangji stared at him intently. And you agreed? I didn't have any reason to say no, Nie Mingtui said. The same with Jiang Cheng, for that matter. He also asked. Nie Mingtui decided against mentioning the threesome. Yes. And if I ask? Nie Mingtui's eyebrows went up. Are you serious? Lan Wangji nodded. I wish to understand him better, he explained, as if that sort of request needed explaining. And to have the experience which he had. And you are very attractive. I have long thought so. Do I fit your standards?
Well, when it was phrased like that, Nie Mingtui couldn't exactly say no, could he? It wasn't like he minded being a replacement for someone else. It was hardly the first time. And he knew he could make it good for Lan Wangji. He could whisper fantasies into his ear, tell him all sorts of stories. He could make him feel good, make him feel important, let him try out all the filthy things he'd imagined he'd do with Wei Wuxian on a willing test subject, with whom the stakes were so much lower. It was the least he could do, really. Oddly enough, when he politely held the door open for Lan Wangji after they'd finished, the man's ears were still delightfully red, and he was walking much more slowly and cautiously than usual. It just so happened that Wei Wuxian was passing by, and he immediately ran up to them both and ended up dragging Lan Wangji away somewhere with a claim that he needed to talk about something important. Something about nightmares? Maybe it was the demonic cultivation thing. Nie Mingtui vaguely recalled that Lan Wangji had been pestering Wei Wuxian for some time about cutting back on that, given the risks. Nie Mingtui mentally resigned himself to being back down to only one lover, or possibly none. But instead, Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian had shown up later that night, their intentions clear on their faces. Perhaps they were having some performance anxiety without having a firm hand to guide them through their paces. Or perhaps they needed a buffer for their feelings for each other. He wasn't sure. But there were certain offers that only a stupid man would refuse. And Nie Mingtui did not consider himself a stupid man.
Did you know that Lan Wangji has officially declared his intentions to start courting Wei Wuxian? Lan Xichen asked on his next visit. And Nie Mingtui nearly choked on his tea.
I know. It was a surprise to me, too. I knew he liked him, but I honestly thought he'd insist on continuing to pine in silence. Something must have filled him up with courage.
The something in question coughed again to clear his throat, thinking to himself that while he'd certainly filled Lan Wangqi up with something, whether it was courage was highly debatable.
I wonder if they've kissed yet.
Lan Xichen mused, and Nie Mingtui nodded.
Oh, you think so?
I've seen it,
Nie Mingtui said, thinking of the night 2 days back when they'd spent the entire time kissing and rutting up against each other as he alternated between fucking one and then the other. It was a good thing that Jiang Cheng was away leading the Jiang forces on an incursion into Qishan, or else the scheduling might have gotten a bit difficult. Three lovers was a lot to manage.
They're very good together. Beautiful.
There was a moment of silence.
Ming Chui Xiong, Lan Xichen said slowly, when you say they're beautiful together, do you mean to suggest you've seen them together?
Nie Mingtui nodded.
I know your morals. If you saw them and feel comfortable enough to mention that you saw them, then they must have consented to you seeing them.
Nie Mingtui nodded again. Lan Xichen was a good friend, he thought to himself. It was nice to know that there was someone who appreciated the effort he put in to trying to be a good man, a righteous man, and who trusted him to do the right thing.
Mingtui Xiong, did you or did you not have sex with my baby brother?
I did, Nie Mingtui said, abruptly sensing danger, although he couldn't quite figure out the source.
He asked, and I thought he deserved to have a good time with someone he wasn't so anxious about, the way he was with Wei Wuxian. Afterwards, he had much more confidence.
Under normal circumstances, he might elaborate further, but, well, it was Xichen's baby brother. Lan Xichen hummed thoughtfully and put down his cup of tea.
You know what? He said. I think I should talk to him directly before I leave. What do you think?
Definitely,
Nie Mingtui said, nodding.
Clear and open communication is the backbone of any relationship. You wouldn't want to get messed up over a misunderstanding, would you?
The next day, he saw Lan Xichen sitting with his brother, Wei Wuxian, and even a visiting Jiang Cheng, all of them with their heads bowed together as they talked. And when he walked by, they all looked up at him at once with contemplative expressions. There was that strange sense of danger again. But he reviewed the formations and checked the troops, and there was no sign whatsoever of a breach. Basia was laughing at him, though, which meant that it wasn't actually anything evil, and would, at most, be awkward. Lan Xichen, unexpectedly, showed up later that evening with a smile and a piece of rope that he made very good use of. And while he didn't actually ask anything, well, Nie Mingtui had always been pretty easygoing when it came to Lan Xichen. He'd never said no to the man in his life, and he wasn't about to start now. Even if he hadn't previously been aware that his friend was even interested in that sort of thing.
Should we talk about this?
He asked in the morning, when Lan Xichen was getting his clothing in order.
Do you feel the need to?
Lan Xichen asked. Nie Mingtui thought about it, and no, not really. He hated talking about things. He just wanted to make clear that he was open to talking if Lan Xichen wanted to.
It was fun, he offered instead. We should do it again sometime.
Certainly, Lan Xichen said.
And that was a relief. Nie Mingtui wouldn't have wanted to mess up their friendship over something as meaningless as physical pleasure, no matter how mind-blowingly good it had been.
I don't think I've had a better night in a very long time. I feel positively rejuvenated. Thank you.
It was entirely mutual,
Nie Mingtui assured him.
Next time I visit, we should do this again. Just don't schedule me on the same night as Wangji.
Nie Mingtui rolled his eyes and got out of bed as well.
even though it was the unnecessarily early time the Lawn Sect preferred. "Of course not," he said, and wondered how exactly he'd ended up sleeping with two different sets of brothers. Possibly it was time to start paring down his list of lovers. He'd never had to do that before. But then, he'd also never received quite as many propositions from people that fit his requirements before. Perhaps he'd just stop accepting new offers.
"I was thinking of going to visit Meng Yao at Longya," he said, offhandedly as he dressed. "Jing Guangshan sent a request for aid not long ago. It would be a good excuse to check up on him. Would you like to come with me?"
"I am supposed to be escorting sect leader Jiang to his camp."
"Give the job to Wangji. He'd be happy for the excuse to spend more time with Wei Wuxian,"
Niaming Tui said, and then added,
"As would I, with you."
Lan Xichen smiled. "Well, perhaps just this once. Someone ought to test out how Wei Wuxian's theory holds up over the course of more than just a few days."
Niaming Tui blinked, not entirely following the connection, but Lan Xichen was already heading out. They spent a very enjoyable week together on the way to Longya, and thereafter split up. Niaming Tui had his duties as a general and a frontline fighter, while Lan Xichen, who primarily acted as courier, was free to go off in search of their mutual friend. Although Niaming Tui warned him against disrupting the Jin sect's internal order too much. He finished up the battle, finished up arguing with Jing Guangshan, who was pretending he didn't know who Meng Yao was, and was just starting his search when Lan Xichen reappeared by his side, Meng Yao trailing him.
"Meng Yao, why is your father playing deaf, dumb, and blind about you?"
Niaming Tui knew he should start with a greeting, but he really couldn't help himself. He was still fuming, and anger had always been a weakness. A familial weakness, even.
"Xichen, did you know?"
"More than that," Lan Xichen exclaimed, a rare scowl on his face. "You should have seen how his lieutenant was scolding him."
"Lieutenant? You report to a mere lieutenant? Did they give you no rank at all? Give me no face at all? Meng Yao!"
"You are sleeping together," Meng Yao blurted out, eyes flickering between the two of them, with wide eyes. Niaming Tui blinked, then huffed.
"See, this is why it's ridiculous to use you as a foot soldier. Your observation skills and deductive capability alone justify your inclusion at a higher level. Not to mention your grasp on strategy, tactics, logistics. You should come back to Qinghe with me at once."
"Sect leader Nie," Meng Yao said, and he looked apologetic, like he really wanted to stay here doing nothing instead of being somewhere where he could actually help. "I appreciate your faith in me, but I really can't..." "Meng Yao, do you suffer from nightmares?" Lan Xichen abruptly said, which... what did that have to do with anything?
"Insomnia, things of that nature."
Meng Yao blinked.
"Yes. And you're not currently working for Ming Tui Xiong,"
Lan Xichen continued thoughtfully, "which eliminates the ethical issue."
"Ethical issue?"
"No, wait," Meng Tui protested. "He'd just decided not to take on any more lovers. Also, what did his sex life have to do with nightmares?" "Xichen."
"The only reason Meng Tui Xiong didn't proposition you before was because he doesn't sleep with servants, for fear of coercing them,"
Lan Xichen said blithely.
"And because he was concerned about your reputation."
"My reputation?"
"As much mine as his," Niaming Tui grumbled, old grievances effectively distracting him. "Foul-mouthed gossips. As if I would promote someone simply because they shared my bed. And they would probably cast aspersions on your competence, even though it's been proven time and time again."
Meng Yao was smiling at him. It was a good smile, perhaps slightly indulgent, as if Niaming Tui were very foolish, but in a way that Meng Yao rather liked.
"You're sure you don't want to come back to Qinghe?"
Niaming Tui asked. He'd rather have a good deputy than another lover, but if there was really no hope... well, one more couldn't hurt, right? And somehow, Somehow, that led to the current situation, which was that they had killed Wen Rohan, won the war, and set up a celebration on Phoenix Mountain that invited everyone to a single location for a fairly limited time period, meaning that Nie Ming Chui abruptly had to confront the fact that he was currently sleeping with 5 different people, and they'd all planned to share his bed on the first night of the event.
"I don't see why this is a problem," Jing Guangyao, as he was now being called, said, smoothly stepping forward to distract everyone who was glaring at each other. "I deliberately assigned Daga a large, centrally situated room under the expectation that he would have company. Surely some division of time could be arranged?"
"But then we'd argue about time distribution," Jiang Cheng objected. "Getting him fresh and getting him worn out are 2 separate things." Nie Ming Chui would have protested that he would still be perfectly capable of satisfying a lover, even while worn out. But there was that sense of danger again, and this time he knew exactly where it was coming from.
Basia was still laughing at him. She was right, too. He'd done this to himself.
"Maybe we should be thinking more broadly," Wei Wuxian said. "Why split time rather than space? If there's a room large enough for it, we can all fit, and that way everyone can benefit."
Nie Ming Chui had confidence in his skills and his stamina, but 5 people? And not just any 5 people, but 2 Lans, a Jiang, the newly dubbed Yilin Patriarch, and Meng Yao to boot? Nie Ming Chui had always liked a challenge, but he also acknowledged the advantages of a well-timed strategic retreat.
"Decide it as you will," he said. "I am going to sleep in Huaisang's room."
Nie Huaisang, unsurprisingly, found the entire thing hilarious.
"I leave you alone in a battlefield for 3 months, he hoots, wiping tears of laughter out of his eyes. 3 months, Daga, and now you have a harem?"
"It's not...
It might be, actually, if one considered the technical definition of the word.
It was unintentional."
"I bet it was," Nie Huaisang laughed. "And you have good taste, too. Almost all of them are the most highly ranked among the most attractive young masters. Daga, you need to seduce Jin Sichuan at least once. Complete the set."
"What? No, absolutely not. For one thing, I don't need any more problems, and for another, I've never heard of him cutting his sleeve."
"I haven't heard that about any of the people you're sleeping with," Nie Huaisang pointed out. "Have any of them ever said why they're so fixated on sharing your bed tonight? No offense, but your dick can't be that good."
"Something about nightmares,"
Nie Ming Chui said, because that was the best guess he had.
"I'm not sure exactly."
"Oh," Nie Huaisang said, in a tone that suggested he might actually know something.
Nie Ming Chui turned to glare at him. "Talk."
"It's nothing, really," Nie Huaisang said with a shrug. "It's just, remember when I was younger, when I had nightmares all the time, and I used to run over to your bed to hide from them?"
"Of course," Nie Ming Chui said, puzzled. "It was the only way I could get you to sleep."
It continued long after Nie Huaisang was no longer a child, too. Well past the point of propriety. But Nie Ming Chui had never been able to care about propriety when his brother's happiness and health were on the line.
"I've never had a bad dream as long as you were there," Nie Huaisang said. "Not once. Not ever."
"Of course not,"
Nie Ming Chui said, still not entirely sure how this related to the problems with his exponentially growing sex life.
"It would rather defeat the purpose of you coming over if you still had nightmares, didn't you?"
"Normal people can't... You know what? Never mind. We've had this discussion before, and it never goes anywhere. Just accept that you're a magic sleep talisman for more people than just me now, Daga."
"They don't have to sleep with me to sleep with me," Nie Ming Chui argued. "They could just ask."
True. Maybe your dick really just is that good, and the sleep is just a bonus? Or maybe the dick is the bonus. Hoi Song, stop talking about my dick.
You're the one that brought your harem problems to me.
Who else is going to advise me on what to do with my harem? Everyone else I know has a conflict of interest. Nie Hoi Song giggled.
Okay, fine. I vote in favor of Wei Wuxian's suggestion.
What, that we all just pile up on the bed like puppies?
Why not? If it's the sleep thing, everyone can enjoy the benefits of a good night's sleep as long as you're there. If someone does want to have sex, you can all separate out into discrete groups if that's important to you. Take Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian, for instance. They're perfectly capable of entertaining themselves. Or does the Emperor insist on being an active party in his harem's exertions?
The Emperor, being human, requires rest on a regular basis, and not to die of overexertion, Nie Mingtui said dryly. Fine, I'll send them a message, and Meng Yao can arrange an even bigger room for tomorrow.
Can I come?
What? Hoi Song?
Not for you. I want some of the others, or at least to watch. It's a reasonable request, Daga.
It is not, Nie Mingtui insisted. But like everything he'd ever tried to argue with Nie Hoi Song, he could already tell he was going to lose. You are not joining my harem, and that is final.
Not joining, Nie Hoi Song said with a grin. Just poaching. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for me and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!